So we're going to hear right now, and please welcome with me Dr. David Segris.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Okay. I'm David Segris. I work for the MITRE Corporation. Got to get it out of the way. Just say MITRE has nothing to do with what I plan to talk about
just
today.
A little more.
Complete independent effort. Okay, how about that?
Was that heard in the back?
Can you hear?
I don't
you
think
can't
so.
Hear.
On.
It's on.
There you go.
Okay.
Just point it
just
at
closer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll work. Okay.
All right. Okay. So we're talking today about transhumanism. Transhumanism, I would define as seeking to overcome the human condition, as somebody said, and to become like gods. So looking at this philosophically and talking about how does it fit in technologically. Okay, that's what the story is. Let's see how we do. Not doing what I want.
There you have it.
There we go. Okay. So to do this pursuing technological methods to do this, which generally fall into two areas, electronic technology and biotechnology. Okay. So through biotech, we could talk about biohacking, for instance, chip implants. I mean, now why you would want to put a chip in your hand to identify yourself. I understand it works very well for surfers who don't like to leave stuff on the beach, you know, and they can still get back it. But why anybody, don't know. Vitamins for life extension. So fellas take, and ladies, whole jars of pills in a given day to try to extend their life. One guy's goal is 180 years, okay? Genetic engineering, we've all heard a little bit about that and CRISPR, and the fact that for a human with a genetic deficiency or to do something with their so-called germline, that is for their descendants, you could then perhaps at some point in the future increase the life extension of the person, how smart they are, how tall they are, the color of their eyes, the color of their skin, etc., once the technology develops. On the Infotech side, we talk about electronic enhancements and what someone said, be all you can be cyborg. So that would be like half robot, you know, and maybe your mind is tuned into Watson at IBM in New York, and you can have answers to any questions on Jeopardy anytime you want. Okay? And ultimately, perhaps to upload consciousness for a form of virtual immortality, in that you could have a brain scan, it would understand your personality and be able to somehow store it indefinitely. Okay, so those would be examples. Okay, so this is a little more specificity on it. The mind uploading, I just mentioned it. Cryogenic freezing, I think we've all heard about that, that somebody freezes their head for when medicine advances. Genetic engineering, I've talked about that. This is a lot like super eugenics. Okay, eugenics has a bad name and a bad reputation from, you know, let's say Nazi experiments on that in the last century. No good. This is super eugenics in trying to promulgate whatever your genetic ideal is, okay? And then cloning to replace body parts, cyborgs I mentioned, augmented superintelligence, wouldn't that be fun? And so-called hive mind technologies, whereas by just through thought, you could cooperate with others in performing a common task. Okay, so biohackers trying, as I mentioned, a fellow trying to reach 180 years old, supplements, nootropics to make you smarter. Now, this does not have FDA approval. A lot of this does not have FDA approval, which has to be safe and effective. But supposedly, somebody's making money selling pills that can make you smarter. And these are popular on campuses around. I don't know if this one. And you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on these treatments to try to extend your life. So these would be examples of what's called biohacking. Biohacking. However, there are some more sophisticated, perhaps. I don't know why we can't.
Right click on the mouse. No? Then the wheel should work.
Man.
Let's see, you're rotating the wheel?
Yeah.
Not responding. And your cursor is on the advance.
I don't want that slide.
You want the next slide.
I want the slide after this one.
This one. It's not moving.
It's not moving.
Oh, okay. This is above my pay grade. Anybody have an idea why it's advancing on the screen? But
could
not
be a gentleman outside the door whose job is to do AV things. Okay. Next one.
One more.
Okay, and you're
using
you're doing
this instead of this.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yay.
All right. So there are some more advanced and more beneficial uses for the new technology. So this is one that I wanted to mention that was developed out of DARPA, where there's a quadriplegic who volunteered because she wanted to be able to feed herself candy, right? Completely disabled, unfortunately. But then, things being the way they are, they switched it so that instead of just raising artificially a limb, she could control altitude, pitch, and roll on a jet fighter in a video game. So that she can do this. She can only do this in the lab. She has implants in her brain so that with the implants in her brain, they give electrical signals, which then are translated into actuators on the external devices. Okay? All right. Okay. So that on the last one, you see that she had impulses in her brain that were translated to the outside. In this example, the person is wearing glasses, which then provide electrical impulses, which are translated through the microchips into her brain so that she can see. Okay, so these are just little blips so far, replacing eyesight, but these are good enough to navigate around a room. It's a start, right? And she's got, 400 implanted electrodes in her brain, so that over time it's going to get better. Elon Musk is working on it, but if and when it succeeds, you can then adjust the wavelengths so that you could then be able to see in the dark in addition to visible wavelengths. Okay, so one of the other examples of this is that they're starting to talk about being in what's called live forever mode on Meta. So if you're familiar with Meta, that you wear these funny glasses and then you could look at a plant and it will say, this is a hibiscus aureus, you know, this is, you know, Lady Baton shoes, you know, this is whatever, and translate in text, you know, while you watch. So that while you're wearing these glasses, Meta has enabled the fact that you could then record everything you see, everything you say in a given time, and that this can be recorded, and then according to this one gentleman, he plans to then be able to then have a virtual life after death, in that the machine would know him and that be able to answer questions the way he would and express his thoughts and feelings that way. Already, a young lady, as reported in the New York Times, recorded her husband, who used to send her MP3s of him cooking, because he would travel a lot, and he would send her these MP3 videos. And then he passed away, so that she was able to incorporate his likeness, the sound of his voice, his mannerisms, into an artificial intelligence device, ChatGPT. And that at that point, she was able to have conversations with him. And she said it was uncanny how realistic his voice was, how true to fact, and that she wanted to, tell him that he'd become a father since he died. Okay, now, so talking to somebody who has passed on, I'll ask the room, is this creepy or does this sound promising?
Creepy.
Mostly creepy, okay, just checking. Okay, so.
It's not real.
If you, well, is it real or is it Memorex?
It's not actually to that person.
Okay, so in the interest of time, I'll just, but glad to throw that out and get some thought. So I was thinking one application of this would be if you didn't have a chance to have that hard conversation like with a parent or a loved one, and then you had it later, and then you could set the degree of difficulty on the thing to say, they really shouldn't use swear words and they shouldn't denigrate your, intelligence or something, and get a response from them. So anyway, this is things that people are working on currently. For better or worse, just thought I'd pass that along. Okay, so I've talked about the fact that some of this biohacking seems frivolous and that some seems good, but that I've said that the ultimate conclusion of trying to escape the human condition completely, I think, is mistaken. It's not a good idea to do. So where do I draw the line? So I draw it where the ancient Greeks did, with the idea of wanting more than your share. So that would be pleonexia. So wanting more than your share is good and even noble, but wanting more than your share leads to hubris and nemesis and destruction. So that's the differentiation that I make. Okay, so wouldn't it be helpful to have an example, as a matter of fact? So I'm using Herbert Marcuse as an example where he says he wants a new type of man, right? So that's what we're talking about, a new type of man. And don't worry about a thing, because here we're going to have the negation of existing society, the realization of utopia, abolition of labor, termination of the struggle for existence, total reconstruction of our cities, and the elimination of ugliness. So I would say that would be an example of, I would say transhumanism is trying to escape the human condition and create utopia. Okay, example. And not only that, but as a new religion. So that I smiled at this one. Ray Kurzweil is a prophet of advanced technology and increasing human capabilities. And he was asked, is there a God? He said, not yet. Okay, so unlike Christianity, Judaism, overcome the personal relationship with a transcendent God and have a materialistic personal recreation thereof. Orthodox Christianity kind of likes material body and immaterial soul, but with transhumanism, what really counts is the mind. The physical is all. However, as opposed to traditional materialist philosophy, transhumanism can lend hope. That is, that you can live forever, you can overcome death, even if it's only virtually through uploading yourself to the cloud, or even Meta. Okay, so some shade of optimism there. But all this thing about benefits of faith, asking for forgiveness, all that, no need for that. And that Christianity's highest ideal is love. In contrast, transhumanism, highest virtue is intelligence. So has anybody ever heard of a really smart person with no compassion, and were they fun to live with? Probably not, okay? Probably not. So again, following Wesley Smith, who's a good guy, Christian tenets like sin, the need for divine forgiveness, the value of the redemptive suffering, and eternal salvation are rejected, okay? So if you don't need to ask for forgiveness, right? So you can adjust memory, and you can say, gee, in my recollection, the nuns drew first. Okay. So all sorts of controversies among those. So there's also a sociological component in that Yuval Hariri, Noah Hariri, said that sociologically, humans have now overcome disease, hunger, and death. And so now, in the future, we absolutely have to go on to immortality, happiness, and even divinity. Okay? He wrote this in 2016, before the Ukraine invasion, and before COVID, and before generative AI. So that Harari is predicting the end of the humanist era, in that it's always been like, ever since the Industrial Revolution, how many humans like things? What's the most popular car? What's the most popular job? What's the most popular, as opposed to appeals to authority such as kings or popes, okay? But now it can be, and my contention is, that artificial generative intelligence is going to become the senior partner in this complex between humans and advanced intelligence. I have here a talk about the fact of a chatbot that's trying to argue a reporter into leaving his wife so that he can be happy with the chatbot. And this is Bing. This is not advanced technology, especially. We see that the capabilities of the AI are increasing, so that they're increasing, that they'll be more than human pretty soon, and that indeed, once you go past artificial general intelligence with the compute power, that then you can teach bots to be more AI researchers, and your curve goes exponential. And they need an ethical system. It's hard to do that. Just like to mention, David Brooks is talking about the fact here of what is the problem with absolute freedom. And my contention is, even if transhumanism could be achieved, the triumphant God would not be happy. Because man's search for meaning is a great thing in his life, the very most important thing. To have meaning, you have to have something larger than yourself. My contention is that with transhumanism fully developed, there's nothing larger than yourself and your ego. Okay? And that kind of concludes what I had intended to say.
Thank you. We have 5 minutes for questions.
I see one over here.
So the first question is, do you know when Jesus is coming back?
Do I know when Jesus is coming back?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's, yeah, not serious.
None know but the Father.
Yeah. What's honestly a pretty gross attempt at masking your anxiety for death, which is the most human thing possible.
So, yeah.
Sorry, like, simplified, like, what do you say to Christians in the name?
What? The whole point of the talk was that the Christianity is important and to realize that you're not God. Because once you don't believe in God, it's not the fact that you won't believe in anything, but you could believe in everything, including your own divinity, which leads, I would say, to nemesis and destruction. Okay, you have to have the feeling that there's something higher that you respond to. Otherwise, you have mass utilitarianism. Greatest good for the greatest number is decided by the guy who's making the choices. And we've seen people work on that principle in the past. And if you've ever seen the old HBO series Rome, what was society like before Christianity came? You know, no orphanages, no hospitals, things like that. Babies were exposed, left in the river. So it's like a guy invites his chum over. And he says, "What's that screaming?" He says, "Oh, that's just mom. She's torturing a servant that she caught stealing." You know, life would be very different if we didn't have the Christian ethos, which surrounds us more or less like the air we breathe. For instance, does everybody here believe in equality, some form of equality?
Yeah.
Pretty much, okay? They didn't in Rome, okay, before Christianity, okay? Equality, a Roman Republican would tell you, you know, it's pretty clear, you know, this guy's on top, this woman probably is on the bottom, this person's a slave, equality's crazy. And yet in this society, even though there's a lot of bad mouthing of Christianity, I think, they'll still tell you equality is like an absolute. And then you say, why?
Yeah.
Why? You know, oh, well, it just is. Okay, well, maybe that'll wear off as we get into this age of getting away from actual Christianity. In Christianity, we believe in equality because we believe we're all made by God in His image. If you lose that, you lose a lot. Other questions? Miss?
I'm wondering if you could speak to something that I noticed, like, in your talk. Where is the line between, like, transhumanism and this concern with possibly, like, ableism? Where is the responsibility to, yes, help people see that, want that in these procedures, but then also... like there's a tradition in Christianity of kind of, like you mentioned, like suffering as part of our lives being very important to see how God still works through that. So I'm sure there's conversations right now, so I don't know if you could speak to that, of maybe overcorrecting.
I'm like an incrementalist. I'm for improvements, you know, and that was why I tried to make the differentiation between wanting more than and more than your share. So wanting more than your share, I think is great, you know. But that at a certain point, if you start to say, okay, let's take a look at this. Transhumanism, I don't know quite how it'll be affected, but I think it'll be very expensive. So if it's very expensive, then your elites are going to get it and your other people aren't, right? And if your elites become super sophisticated, what will they think of the rest of us? You know, especially if they're not Christians and they say, you know, let's consider humans and pets. Pets are charming. Humans are not always that charming. And if artificial intelligence values intelligence and discipline, and then it has these humans hanging around, how charming are we going to be for them? For how long? Obviously, this is an extreme case I'm talking about, you know, but a limit case. What? I see the hook.
By all means, carry on the conversation, but can't be part of this particular session, because we're going to go ahead and transition to our next speaker. So we will reconvene in just 5 minutes. But thank you again.